to the 4Jack Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the 4Jack Podcast, brought to you by our friends over at Jackson Labs. Back in here today on a, honestly, seemingly disgustingly beautiful or disgusting afternoon, Sunday afternoon, but like not that bad later in the day. I know Tom has a good story about the weather out there today, but before we even dive into that, we'll just say hello to our friends that have joined us today. Mr. Durvin.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me again. Happy to be here.
Our pleasure, my man. Lots to talk about, a lot of golf to talk about with the boys, but Tom, you know, you got some golf, you got some stories.
Yeah, it was a good day at the old Goat Track Social Club two-man scramble at the Goose. We, Cody and I, we went out there to battle the boys.
The year-ender.
Been to every single one of the Goat Track events, haven't played golf in the event.
First event that you played.
Wow. Always play golf after.
Yeah. True.
So it's kind of nice to be in it, right, with the boys. And I like the two-man scramble. Codes and I, we were ham and egging our way around out there. Opened with a bogey, just started on nine, didn't really enjoy that tee shot. But then kept a clean card the rest of the way. Birdies were a little tough to come by. It was cold. It was pouring rain on us. Ooh. For the first three or four holes.
Ugh,
like, yuck. Not pouring, but like,
You could feel it.
Yeah, it got heavier for sure. Oh, and it was, man, like you could see your breath. So it was a tough day for the golf.
It was
the
like
winners.
8 degrees out there this morning. Probably, yeah, colder than that.
Yeah, it was pretty chilly. But ooh, like the energy at the Goose was really good. So it kind of warmed you up. I went and I had a good chat with Ryan Hotchkiss on the green, warming up. Go. Barely even got any warm up in, actually, because just too many cool people buzzing around, right? You're like, oh, there's Zavi. There's Ryan Hotchkiss. We got Chris Strong. Is it Chris Strong?
Corey
Strong. All the boys, Bud Pat, took a video driving past. Yeah, it was just a great time.
Well, you're going to give us a full play-by-play here. Like,
yeah, we'll go.
I want to know more about this day out there. But
okay,
last but not least, we got to say hello to Parks before he disappears on us, and then we can bang out this tour talk so we can listen to some Goat Track talking.
I was enjoying Tom's little interlude there. That was good. Yeah, nice to hear that he was out there supporting the boys at the Goat Track for the final event of the year. Looked like a shitty day, but there were some hot numbers out there. So, yeah, let's get into it.
A fucking hot head cover, too, on Codes' bag, just to cap that off.
Fire.
And that thing is fire.
Amazing food at the Goose.
Really?
They had this turkey sandwich, and they cut the mozzarella on it so thick. It was just insane.
Thick mozza.
Hot dog buns were like sesame seed. Ooh. Poppy, like some sort of darker seed, which was, yeah, a banging place. Course was in mint shape.
Really?
But back to the tour.
I love it. Wow, that's nice. Well, yeah, back to the golf, like Tom said there. Honestly, actually a pretty huge day in the golfing world.
What year are we in?
We are now in the 2021 season. Golf is back, baby.
Wow.
Short break, but here we are.
It hasn't gone anywhere. What the hell are you talking?
I was nervous there for a bit.
I left for three.
It felt like 2004 today because we had Stuart Cinquin, and I was playing golf with the Goose.
Yeah.
It was real. Seriously. Time warp back to like, wow, grade 10.
Well, yeah. So there's that. First time in 11 years that Stuart Cink has won on tour. Huge win for him, really. Like, a 25-year vet grinding out here and then takes an 11-year gap.
Impressive with those hands and that putter shaking. Looks, ooh, like my putting.
Yeah, that was bad.
Probably nice to have his kid on the bag, too.
Was that his kid?
Yeah.
Oh, that's, yeah, his son. You know
I
what?
Didn't
in the post-game interview, he was just like constantly giving him some love, and it was almost like the Soul Train Awards. I thought he's going to break out the like praise Jesus and like everybody hold hands, and not to knock that, I mean, do your thing, but like it was getting a little
preachy at that.
Away, preachy, yeah,
that's all right though. I mean, a big win for him, he needed that. Whatever works, it did it. And you know what, to be fair, that's probably his, is that not his first victory since he stole that one from Tom Watson?
Yeah, since he beat up that old elderly man in over the pond there. Yeah,
true.
I think that's his first win since.
That was a tough one. Yeah, nobody really loved him after that, but you should, because he was a stellar player for that time. Good win for him, but I think even bigger news. No, before we go to that, I got to say, and I know Parks doesn't like this, I was really pulling for Harry Higgs. I like that guy. I think that guy is the shit. He is what golf needs. He's like a new version of John Daly. He gets those shirts specially made with four buttons so he can undo three of them.
Dude,
never
he
plays
looks,
a shot without
the sunnies.
He looks
like he smells like a public toilet. Like, I swear, he's just gross. Like, barbecue is just leaking out his pants.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm actually a big fan of the deep button undo, right? Like,
huge fan.
Especially when they're, like, they're always playing golf. And if you have it undone and it's 55 degrees out, that's one thing. But if it's 85 and hot as hell, like, I'd want a little extra breathing room.
Absolutely. I'm not one of you guys that buttons up. Like, I'm not like a bubble guy that buttons up all the way. Like, I'd rather be like Harry.
I do love the button.
I like that too. I'm not a fan. It depends on the day.
If you go to your bathroom right now and grab a tube of toothpaste, that's exactly what Harry Higgs looks like in that blue uniform he was wearing. Like a tube of toothpaste. You know, there's like stuff in the middle and
you know what?
Stuff on the top and like stuff leaking out.
At the end
that's
of the day,
Harry Higgs, toothpaste.
That's that guy would mop the floor with you. So you know what?
And
you
then I'd probably smell like hickory barbecue sauce afterwards. It would be delicious.
That would be delicious.
Not going to lie, that'd be delicious.
To be fair, if I was worth a couple million and I smelled like barbecue, I probably wouldn't care either.
It's probably because you're cooking in a really nice barbecue.
Yeah. Or just eating out every day.
It would be a nice
real
smoker.
Good. Trigger grills.
But on to some bigger news. We had a near really good Canadian content out of the A&A. Brooke Henderson lost in a playoff today. That was a tough one. Big win for Miren Lee. Huge, really, for her career moving forward. Not the outcome I wanted to see. Was really hoping for either our girl Gabby Ruffles, or for Brooke. I wanted Brooke to win. I thought she was going to get it on 18 when she had like 2:14 in. I'm sitting there. I'm going, she's got this. This is easy. Everything's firm. It's going to run up. You got a hybrid in hand. All you need to do is fly like 205, 210 at the most. She flew that thing like 218, threw it into the backs, into the grandstands. Aggressive backstopping. Aggressive. Egregious, to be honest with you. It's gross. Like, I think there's no fans, man. They should take that shit down. Let's make that a true island green. Like, that's so ugly to have like no fans and you can still backstop like that.
That almost backfired on her, though. Like, as you were talking about it, if her ball would have went underneath and out the back end of the water, that would have been
game
like,
over.
No
right
relief.
There.
No IMO. So, oof, dicey. Yeah,
that's a ballsy play, but...
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, it's horse shit, though. I mean, they shouldn't be doing
under
that.
Under and then out? Wow.
Yeah. So, they should just get rid of it. You know,
so
make it more
sure
intimidating. In. Like, they're used to that. They're used to being able to backstop. And it's like... It's not like it's, you know, 10 yards off the green. It's like four steps. I mean, you can literally just hammer a ball into that thing. You could fly a 220 right into it. Probably be smarter, actually, because it would probably come back.
Bang.
Yeah, like that's what
ricochet.
I would
do. You have to utilize the course. Yeah.
Throwing it into the backboard. Like, why not? Like,
in
why
case it hits a chair and goes 50 yards the other way.
Rub a la green.
There is that. Yeah, that's rub the green right there. Like, that's a tough loss if you do it. But
shouldn't have been doing it in the first place.
Yeah, But very anticlimactic playoff. Was not overly inspired by it. But big win, I guess, for her, for Lee. She gave the most pathetic jump into Poppy's pond I've ever seen. Her caddy did her justice, though. Her caddy gave a full-on head-first belly flop. Like, that guy swan dove into that thing. It was awesome. That will go down. She, not so much. It was lame.
More of a tiptoe in there.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go with that. Yeah. It wasn't thrilling, but oh, well. On the PGA Tour, though, I did smoke everyone, just to say that, with the picks, usual.
It was a bit of a takeover. Pays, you did very well this week. You had some really, really strong horses in the race, I must say. Your man Parks did not do well. I think I got doubled by everybody. So yourself, 54 under par. Tom was 38. Dirt was 35. And I have an honorable mention at minus 19.
Gross. Very honorable, though.
Honorable. 120% there.
Well, I spelt my name right on the entry sheet, so that was a start, right?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah. But you know what? To be honest, and truth be told, I don't know about everyone here, but I'm pretty sure I can speak for most of us that I didn't watch a whole lot of golf this weekend. I didn't really give a shit about the Safeway. I did care about the ANA. I did watch a fair amount of that, but I didn't really care about, you know, the battle in Napa.
I think European Tour was the most exciting
European
golf
Tour
that
was pretty
on this
sick.
Weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good, but this is a big week.
This is.
It's been, major yeah, week, folks.
It's a major week for the US
yeah,
Open.
We got a US Open week here. I think we need to just dive right into this. Like, we can talk about our picks, but like, let's just talk about what we think we're going to see this week, because I had to do some deep diving this week. I had to go watch the flyover of every hole at Wingfoot. And yeah, I totally forgot that golf course. Like, I remember watching that in 06 because like I was a huge Mickelson fan growing up, and I was like, oh my God, he's going to do it. I was like, you know, like that laugh when you're like giddy and you're almost crying because you're like, oh my God, this is happening.
It's like when Parksy's going to play the tips.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he gets excited. I was like that with Phil. And then everything just fell apart on that last. Like, and it was just so soul-crushing. But then it was kind of sick to watch Jeff Ogilvy win because he had the same shirt that I was had, and I was that sick Puma stuff. And I was like, yeah, that's badass. Sick win, dude.
I'm going to be winning lots this year with that inspiration.
Yeah, I was like, this is now my new shirt. This is the one.
But I got to jump in here and remind our friends of the show that we have a U.S. Open watch party hosted at Mercer Tavern this weekend. So that should be pretty exciting. Tavern, not Tavern. That's my Boston accent coming through. Everybody get on the old website and sign up for your free tickets. Should be a good time. Lots of good prizes. So make sure you check that out.
Come on down to the Tavern.
And a couple pops here and there. You know, it'd be nice.
The fastest lager.
I love it. But Jeff Ogilvy was actually on the Fried Egg podcast this past week, and he was discussing what is going to be needed out of guys at Wingfoot this week. He talked about what he was doing the week that he won, and he said, yeah, he was playing very well, like extremely well, but he was just getting up and down from everywhere. Like, a lot of greens he missed. Like, there was a lot of par fours where he was literally just hoping to get up and down because he knew he wasn't going to hit it anywhere near the flag on the green. They were so firm. Everything runs away. If you're above the hole, you're dead. If you're pin high, you're dead. It's like, it's a player's course. You have to be below the hole, and it's
okay. So what's
tight.
The expectation? Do you think they're just going to bake the shit out of it? They're going to play it super fast. They're going to play it super long rough.
Well, like,
what's the call here?
Well, kind of what they've been talking about is that it's actually going to be a lot firmer than what we normally see. Because if you think about this time of the year, with really any golf course in the north,
getting hard.
Yeah, exactly. Haven't seen a lot of rain. It's still warm there, but like as we saw at TPC Boston, I mean, it was very firm there, except for the greens. Everything else was running out. It's going to be very similar to that. The rough apparently is beyond death.
Gnarly.
Yeah, you're done. Like, you might see a couple wrists snapping. I don't know if Tiger will make it through that. Hopefully it stays warm so his back and that fused back can stay together for the week. But there's no... Well, he was out there in shorts and a t-shirt today, so it could be all right for him.
Yeah, he was wearing the shorts, and I saw that.
Yeah, and he's nice. He's looking
it's
good.
A real casual vibe.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods in shorts is just the wildest scene.
He looks like a pure dork.
He looks like a dad.
Because they're longer shorts, too.
Yeah.
That is past the knee 100% almost.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not exactly on point when it comes to a shorts game, but...
You guys are hilarious. Did I told you the time that I met him in Vegas, right?
And yeah.
He was wearing a button-up shirt tucked into his jeans.
Yeah,
wearing white sneakers. And this is in a nightclub in Vegas. You can't get any more dorkier than that. Like, that's the epitome of dork.
It's Jerry Seinfeld-esque.
100%.
Right. It's like, once you hit a certain level, you just become like, yeah, this is what I wear.
I guess when you're worth $1 billion, you can pretty much wear whatever.
Well, that's like Jordan. Like, Jordan like dresses like he's in 1997 because that's when he was the most famous person like on the planet. I think that's a theory. Like, you
just hang on to the era?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, why bother going forward?
It's like the perfect balance between fashion and function for them, where they're like, I like the white shoes, so I wear those crazy Nikes, right? But they got
this
all the
works.
Support.
Yeah. Like, this
a
is
long night
for
of
me
dancing.
Once.
What do you think he was doing in Vegas then? Who knows?
Gotta have white shoes, but I gotta
Parks
have
has a
support.
Real good idea of what Tiger was doing at that time, because that was right in a bit of a dirty era.
Yeah, he was sitting at a table with like 20. It was ridiculous. Exactly. And he was not reading a story. This was not book club. This was at the Bellagio, so something was going down. Anyway.
Yeah, majors were going down, man. That's what he was doing. Come on. Pull your
I think he was
Sam.
He was actually supposed to be in Dubai that week playing, but he had pulled out because of
obligations.
Yes, obligations. I think he was sick or something like that. Some kind of medical thing that he threw out in the media. So anyway, it was funny to see him in a nightclub considering he was supposed to be sick.
Yeah, he was feeling lonely is what it's called.
Broken heart.
Question for you then, Parks. What are your expectations for Wingfoot? Take away the players, but like, what are you expecting out of the golf course?
I'm going to say the same thing as what you just kind of touched on. I think obviously it's going to be U.S. Open conditions. The PGA, the PGA Tour and the PGA do a really good job of making this the worst, hardest test of tournaments for the year. I mean, essentially, I'm fumbling my words here, but like, yeah, it's going to be hard. It's going to be baked out. I assume the greens are going to be running at 14, 15 by Sunday for sure. I think that the rough is going to be gnarly. But again, like, the guys are hitting it so far. When you're hitting a wedge out of the rough at 80 yards, 100 yards out, it's not really that much of a consolation. So I don't know what to say. It's going to be probably around par that's going to take it, but it'll be interesting to see through the first couple of rounds what the scores are like.
You guys, what are you kind of expecting out of this?
My main thought right now is maybe this is the U.S. Open where you're just trying to hold fairways.
If you can hit them.
Right, like you might even hit it.
Yeah.
And it's so firm that it just bounds right through it into the
rough. They're just so tight.
Yeah.
I mean, when you watch the flyover and you kind of see like actually how tight these fairways are, like 18. So six out of the eight toughest holes are the last eight holes.
Nice.
It's insane. I like within that. The last eight holes. Like 18 is the nastiest finish. Even in the flyover, they're like, yeah, this is not the hole you want to finish with.
And did it's they redo so iconic, a part of though. That course recently? Like, when did they like there do might have been a couple restorations?
There's
or?
A couple natural bunkers that got, or like old bunkers that got taken out, and they kind of went away from the Tallahassee design and, well, went back to it, but with like a new design. Like, there were some bunkers that got taken out, got put in like grass bunkers, or they started shaping basically the slopes into the bunker so it looks very natural. Like, and it's crazy. Like, it's a really good look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything on the left side of 18 kind of feeds into the molten lava pit, and then there's that swinging bridge that's on fire that you have to cross. So yeah, it's
pretty much hole. Yeah, I mean, Ogilvy was kind of discussing Wingfoot as in terms of a major championship for, or U.S. Open, really, that Oakmont Shinnecock, and maybe higher than Shinnecock, would be like Oakmont and Wingfoot would be your top venues for a U.S. Open, like the hardest and best conditioned.
And where like did Lee Jansen win the U.S. Open? Was that Shinnecock?
I want to say yeah. I couldn't. I don't quote me on that, but Wingfoot will be. It'll be interesting to see Wingfoot now compared to 2006, considering there's so many guys that just hit it so far, like. Ogilvy back then was averaging around 290 to 305. That's like way down on the list. Like nowadays, if you're not, you know, past 305, you're pretty short. You're relatively short.
You're left in the dust.
Yeah. So to be, but also like when you're making your picks this week, you kind of want to think like maybe you don't need the length. Like you want somebody to actually hit the fairway?
Brendan Todd style.
Well, maybe, because like the way that they kind of spoke about the golf course is like, if you're not hitting fairways in the first, like, say the first round or even the first two, if you're hitting it out of the rough for two straight rounds, you're going to be so exhausted by the weekend that you're not going to stand a chance unless you're hitting wedges. But even then, like, you're not going to be able to sit it on those greens hitting out of the rough. It's not going to spin. It's going to go, and you're going to be left with a tester downhill. Mentally, that's exhausting. So, I don't know. Like, a guy that's really straight might, and even shorter, might be the best option, because if you're below the hole every time, it's probably really good.
Yeah, very good.
You'll be fine.
You want to be there.
Yeah.
7,500 yards, par 72. That's what Wingfoot is.
He's playing in a par 70.
Par 70. So that is a pretty beastly court. That's like, disgusting. That's long.
Yeah. That's disgusting.
It's insane.
They won't play it that long every day. They'll give the guys some chances. But yeah, it's gonna be gross. But I mean, this is U.S. Open. This is what we expect, right? This is the hardest setup, hardest tournament of the year. So we expect the scores to be high.
I would just love it if they let us come play, and like not in the U.S. Open, but just give the Four Jack boys
or in it
a chance.
Just give us a tea time
at the
a week
at
later.
The layout, right? Like,
absolutely. Wouldn't that late be, afternoon that Sunday be great?
Absolutely. Yeah, late afternoon Sunday when they shut it all down, we'll go out for our emergency nine.
There you go. I don't know if cool. I could just play nine.
Couldn't.
No. Couldn't just play nine. I'd have to play 18.
Yeah, you'd have to play. But while we're on the topic of this, come on, boys. Let's get at it.
Some picks.
Let's get into some picks. I know these are big.
Before we do picks, I'd just like to get everyone's take on Bryson this week.
Not even a factor.
Okay. I wouldn't.
Is he playing?
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I missed over him. Okay.
The reason why I say that is because the method that Bryson has been taking so far this year is let's hit it as hard as we can and hope for the best. You cannot do that at a golf course like this week. It's just not going to work.
It's just going to kill you.
He knows that, though. He knows that, though. Do you not think maybe he spent the last week, 2 weeks prepping for that? Like, it'll be interesting to see what his
if he takes driver out of his hands and actually maybe thinks of controlling the golf ball, he might have a chance. But like I said, if you're in the rough all the time, you're going to be so mentally drained if you make the cut that you will not stand a chance on the weekend. It's
somebody tell me you're picking Bryson, please.
I might have to. I was just getting an early feel before we went full picks mode.
Well, let's jump into it, boys.
All right. Well, I did clean up this past weekend, so I'll start just to get it off for the boys. I got to go back to the big man. Got to go DJ. He's just too good right now. I mean, he legitimately could run away with this. You never know. Like, he's good. JT, second best. My third pick, my last two picks, I'm purely picking these guys because they're relatively short, but they are super straight. I'm going Kiz. Kevin Kiz is like a good pick. He's 125 to 1, but I think that's like a really nice pick for there. He might, if you're putting well, fuck, he could get it.
Huh.
And a guy that honestly, he's just been so good in U.S. Opens the last few years, Matthew Fitzpatrick.
Fitzy.
He's just always there.
These are nice picks.
Interesting. Dervy, why don't we do it?
All right. So I am going to start off with Tommy Fleetwood. He's coming off a good week on the European Tour. Maybe he can translate that at Wingfoot. That would be lovely. Wouldn't hate that
Wait,
whatsoever.
Can I stop you for a sec?
Yeah, go.
So he played this week in the European Tour?
Yep.
So how does that work then with coming back? No quarantine?
No quarantine. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. He even was talking about it on the coverage, saying that he was flying to Heathrow and catching a flight to JFK. So I think he's flying commercial. I don't think he's flying private. So I don't know how that works. But anyway.
Well, like they probably
he'll get tested and whatnot.
He'll get tested and then he's pretty much going to be probably quarantined near the site anyway. So
interesting. Sorry to cut you off there.
Oh no, don't be silly. That's COVID times right there.
Mm-hmm. That's live.
Next pick, JT, obviously, you know, strong season so far. Let's see if he can capture one major. That'd be awesome.
I like that pick, but I don't want it because you guys are like, I'm trying to create some separation room here from CPAs. And if I only have two picks that are different,
absolutely. Next is Xander Schauffele.
I like that.
I'm thinking, you know.
Did you look at my paper?
I did not. I did not.
Son of a gun.
You know, super hot week over at the Tour Championship, obviously. So let's see if he can also carry that momentum forward. That'd be great. And then lastly, kind of my long shot pick here is Gary Woodland.
I don't hate that.
Gary Woodland, former U.S. Open Championship, knows what it takes to win, hits a low stinger. Maybe that'll come into handy if he... Over the
what's the over under on how many stingers he'll hit this week at Wingfoot?
40.
40.
Do you think he hits driver? Do you think he just hits stinger? That'd be pretty sick.
That'd be so cool. But I'm gonna say yes, he'll hit driver. But I'm gonna say that 2-iron is gonna be in his hand more often than
sick.
Not.
I love that. I like that.
Good pick, Derby.
Thank you,
Parks. Give it to us.
Well, this is tough. I was gonna take a page out of Tom's book here, but I think I'm gonna stick to my guns. So. I like Xander. Obviously, he played well coming into the Tour Championship. You can't bet against DJ. I mean, really, he's just on it. His whole game is just so good right now. And if he knows exactly where his ball is going. If he putts the greens like he did at the Tour Championship, he's going to be hard to beat.
Yeah.
I think Mr. Colin Morikawa, can't bet against the kid.
That's a great
pick. I like to see him taking down the Grand Slam this year. And I got to go Tommy Fleetwood. He's got new clubs in the bag, new putter in the bag, and he's coming off a hot one in Portugal. So, yeah, going to be interesting. Tombo?
Yeah, listening to this, JT was definitely on the list, but now I'm thinking I need to pick someone else for some separation. DJ has to be on the list. Can't deviate from that. I'm actually going to take Paul Casey in this. I think he's been playing pretty well. He played well at the PGA Championship, and it might be a contender out there. I got to go with Tiger out here.
Someone has to
take the dog, right? The big cat. Yeah, the dog. Last one, wild card in it. We're going to take Matthew Wolff.
I actually don't hate that pick.
Looked over that name a few times, Tombo.
It could interesting. Be like Sung Jae-im maybe is a sleeper.
Could be the year of the...
Dude, Sung Jae should be in everyone's.
Young guys.
Sung Jae should always be in everyone's picks, like at heart at least.
I love him. I just want to hug him.
He's the man. Pretty good, like to quote Faraday, pretty good for a homeless guy. He's not too bad. But those are our picks for the U.S. Open. I'm just honestly ecstatic to watch Wingfoot. Like beyond the play, I can't wait. I can't wait to actually watch like how these guys maneuver around Wingfoot, like especially to see how it compares to 2006. I hope that they don't actually just eat this place up and almost make the golf course semi-relevant.
That's not going to happen. You I know don't think that's so not either, happen.
But like...
No, it's not.
I think it'll be really interesting to see it in the fall as well, because like they were kind of saying that it'll probably end up looking better than when you'd normally see it.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it's absolutely. Prime time, right? Like you got to think that place is so tree lined and like the New York sort of like that area in and around fall just to begin with.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Well, hopefully some of the leaves change. Like that would be really sick. Oh, get to see like a little bit of change of color.
Aesthetic.
I think we got to sidestep here a minute, boys, and take a little moment and, I guess a minute of silence for our man, Evan Dickey. Found out today some interesting news about the kid.
Yeah.
Just craziness, man. So actually had some text messages back and forth with him. Kind of rumor mill was going around today. Tom alluded to some things he heard on the golf course at the Go Track event. And our man, Evan Dickey, had a wipeout. And not just a wipeout, but like the worst possible spill on a mountain bike the other day. I guess he was getting chased by a pack of bears or a pack of wolves or something and took some kind of jump off the roof of something and did some kind of backflip and then ended up falling. And maybe that's a little bit embellished.
Might be a bit exaggerated, yeah.
Took a bit of a spill and hurt his hip bad.
Ouch. Hip replacement, actually, is what we've heard.
Yeah, ouch.
So rocking the walker.
Kid's using a walker right now. We know he's up and around, so good
best
on him.
Best wishes to Dickie.
Obviously, we're thinking about him.
We want to see him get back to form and see that smooth swing out there, smashing it past all of us.
The speedy recovery.
Exactly. Just horrible, horrible news. But anyway, we'll have him on the show here soon and get the real deal out of the horse's mouth.
Yeah, we're gonna have to talk to him soon. But I think the news that we do need to switch over like some brighter news that Tom was kind of talking about earlier. I'd like to get like a play by play of everything that went down at the Goose two man scramble today. The closing Goat Track event.
Before we get there, were you guys just talking about Evan Dickey?
Yeah.
Dog.
Tough go.
Love you, man. Super sorry to hear that's what you're battling right now. Cody Yemarevich, let us know. And our love is with you, my man. Get better soon.
Absolutely.
Over to the Goose and the Goat Track finale. Yeah, got there about 7:30 in the morning, just making my way around, was going to go hit some balls on the range, ended up talking to a couple of the guys, then figured time to go hit some putts. And yeah, it was just chilly ass day out there today. You could see your breath all morning long, and first tee shot 9, dog leg left from the Golds, tight little fairway to hit. ended up pulling my drive into the water. Cody ended up blocking his into the bush, so we had to take a drop off the first hole. Fighting for
a tough one.
Fighting for a couple breakfast balls, but they weren't offering them. So yeah, made a dirty bogey there, but then we bounced back on 10. We both smashed driver on that tight little par 4, made a birdie there, bounced back, and then kind of just plotted our way around. The craziest part was just how cold the air was, and the ball did not go anywhere, right? Yeah. Like every club came up at least like 1.5 short. So it made
that's tough playing out there.
Yeah, made a couple of the par 4s from the Golds a little bit of a long ways, hitting hybrid from like 190 to try to get it up there. And it's like, wow, this is a demanding shot. Yeah. I don't know.
Kind of gross, man. Like, not ideal golf conditions. This wasn't like shorts and hanging out and having a good time.
No.
No, but it was having a good time. Like, there was a ton of good energy out there. Like, everybody was pumped up, ready to be there. Like, they built a very cool little community in the Go Track world, which I'm a huge fan of. Like, yeah, you run into 15, 20 different people, some that, like, I haven't got to, like, know them on a personal level yet, but they know us through the podcast. And, yeah, and Corey Strong ended up taking it down with someone, 63, 8-under. Mud Pat, I think, was like 66 or something, and a few other guys. Cody and I won one or two of our matches that we had going. I forget who. Cody just had them all set up for us, and I didn't even really know that we were doing it. But, yeah, we ham and egged our way around there, made a couple birdies, the one bogey, and from there on out, didn't get to bring home the hardware for the boys, but maybe next year. So,
well, that just sounds like a fabulous day. Shouts out to our good friends at the Goat Track. They just keep it going and going, and I can't wait to see what happens next season. I hope there's going to be more, a few different options, more scrambles, because that just sounds like a blast.
Yeah, I think that next year they're going to be doing kind of like a traveling men's night, I believe, is what they're going to be doing. 16 different events throughout the year where you kind of like pay money to join the Goat Track community, and then they're going to pick up set some tee times at a few different golf clubs, and it'll be kind of like a traveling men's club.
That's sick. Shout out to those boys, actually, like you were kind of saying there. I thought what the Goat Track boys did was so sick this year, and like to say that they're going to do 16 events next year, like that's badass, man. Mm-hmm. Like they have really stepped things up, and you know what, like that's exactly what golf needs, is like more community type driven organizations like that. Like that's gonna be so much fun. Like good on them. But yeah, so it sounded like a sick event out of the boys. Happy to hear it.
Just getting a little coming in hot here, hot off the press. Evan Dickey, just wanted to say thanks for the love, fellas. Sorry to give you guys a scare. He's definitely gonna be up for a pod soon. He's just working through the healing process. His body's starting to come around, and he wants everybody to know he's okay and he's working through it, and he's going to be back bigger, faster, stronger than ever. But yeah, we'll have him on the pod soon. So yeah, lots of love out to Ev Dickey.
That's awesome. That's awesome. But to be honest, I was going to say we'd do 3 stars this week, but like I actually didn't watch enough golf and didn't really pay attention.
I got a star for the gang.
Go for it then.
All right. So my mom, love her to death, Liz Dervin, was playing in a big match today.
Big Liz.
Huge match today for her KRP women's match play tournament that was going on throughout the golf season here in Edmonton. Taking it down against a couple of her old foes. One is known as, what's her name? I forget her name, but it was her and our good friend Diane Strang, who was a former professional at the Belvedere Golf and Country Club, and now she's still a great player. So they took down their match, won on 17. So that's a big win for my mom and Diane. So first star, second star, and third star go to them.
I love it. And she'll get my first star, second star, and third star will be Stewart Cink.
Absolutely. And that tan line that can
only Stewie could do.
Only be described as amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, actually, what I did want to ask. Parks, your boy, Graham Dillette.
The rough weekend.
What fuck was he doing chipping one-handed? Is that seriously the shoulders that bad?
I don't know what's going on. I don't. Well, we talked to Bob Weeks and he said that Graham Dillette, I don't know if he was entertaining the opportunity to become part of the broadcast team with TSN or what was going to happen. He's going to be there at the Masters. We know that, but like, I can't see Graham's golf career moving past 2021 season.
It's that bad with the shoulder. Hey,
yeah, I don't think he's physically able to play four or five rounds of golf, like a practice round, and then compete. So I guess he's trying to manipulate whatever he can and to be pain free to play golf, but like,
it's a shame.
Yeah, it really sucks, man. He's such a great guy, and he does so much for golf, and he gives back to his community, and so many good things about it. But yeah, I think the back is like, you know, you don't want to mess with the back, right? We know how back problems can kind of feed into.
I was just a little shocked when I saw him chipping one handed. I had to talk to you about it because I was saving it for this because I was like, what the hell is it that, like, is it actually that bad?
Yeah, we've seen another man, James Lepp. He was the proud conceptor of the saucer pass chip move. So I don't know what's going on. The Canadians have some funky things going on around the greens, but nice to see him back out on tour. But yeah, I just don't see it going past this year, unfortunately. So
yeah, no kidding.
Who knows?
Oh, well, that's not our focus this week. We hope for the best for Graham, but our focus this week moving forward is the US Open. So that will be fun. And just a reminder to everyone again, head on over to theforjackpodcast.com and get your tickets for the US Open watch party at Mercer Tavern. It's going to be a good time. We got Tower beers. We got some prizes to give away. We got some games. I mean, it's just going to be a nice afternoon. And apparently, this is according to our boy, your boy, my boy, Tom's boy, Sean LeBrec. He says they have the best crispy chicken sandwich in town. So if you really want a good lunch, you should come on down to Mercer. But other than that, boys, I think I'm good. I got nothing else to tell you until next weekend, until I get my US Open fix.
100%.
All right. Parks, you have a great week.
That's it, boys. Take her easy.
Talk to everybody next week.